Good morning, everybody. It's wonderful to see you, and we're blessed today to have lots of visitors, which is really good, and some local visitors, some have decided to make the short trip from Brazil to be here, so just a short trip, and as this lady reminded me, every nation on the planet belongs to the Lord, and his kingdom extends throughout, and also from South Africa, and all the way, I think some people come from Torquay, so that's... So we're just pleased to see you, and I hope I won't upset you, but do look at your neighbours. Just have the opportunity to look at your neighbours. And I know it might be a bit of a shock for some of you, and some of you can see your neighbours better than others, and we have a number of people who can't see here this morning, not with their physical eyes, so they need an extra lot of love and attention, so bless Charlie and Ian and Ray and others who may not be able to see very well. Our prayer is that today you will see. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the joy and privilege of coming here in this place at this time to meet you. And thank you that you reveal yourself through one another, through the beauty of the world around us and the kind words of friends and strangers. Lord, we pray you meet with us today. Reveal yourself and inspire us to worship you and serve you. Amen. First thing, just a little point, we are the light of the world, but there's too much light. The lights are being left on in the corridor behind. So please, if it's you who comes in and out, always, have I shut the doors, have I turned the light off? Just a small thing, but it's good to not waste money on electricity. Second thing, we have our information morning, marriage and mission, coming up now this coming Saturday. It's open to all church members and regular members of the congregation to come for information about the Baptist Union's consultation on a request to change rules that bring into question God's word, the purpose of marriage, what marriage is, and so on. It's a really important meeting. That's why we put it on Saturday, for as many people to come as possible. I have some letters and explanatory information that the copy of the survey questions for anybody who's not a church member, because you've already had them, but for people who are regularly part of the church congregation. If you've not had one of these letters or copies of the survey, do see me afterwards and I'll give it to you. It's going to be information and some discussion, an optional discussion over coffee afterwards, because we want people to opt in to say, yes, I want to talk about this, to discuss this and so on. And later on, we'll be having, yes, prayers for revelation, because we need to proceed by way of revelation, not just information. So we're asking for God to reveal stuff through us. We're starting with some information, but we'll be looking for God's revelation through his word, through the body of Christ. So it's the start, and it's a testing ground, really, for how we as a mature congregation can consider very difficult matters, because there are more to come. As we see in the world around us, these things, these changes, these challenges and questions, and how do we live out the gospel, are going to come more and more. A couple more things. We're having communion today. It'll be stewards for everybody. It'll be straight after our opening block of worship. We'll be going into our communion after the offering. And just to mention that it's been the tradition in this church for a long time. I don't know how many years. But there's an extra opportunity to give financially to the Lord and his work when we have communion. And this particular Sunday, any of those additional offerings which are put in the box outside on the table, communion offering, that will go to the community larder. And we're particularly aware of in the school holidays, the needs are even greater for families with children struggling to make budgets fit their families. The Hillary's funeral and Thanksgiving service will be held on Tuesday week. It's 3 o'clock here. Thank you to all those who have already let Debbie know about providing cakes, scones, other things, and helping with that. That's really good. And if you'd like to help in any way, do speak to Debbie, who is coordinating, so we can go back to the family and say, yes, as a church, we are providing for you and your family in a good way. And thank you so much for doing that. It's a very sad situation to lose a loved member of our congregation, but we've also got a lot to celebrate in a life well lived that is continuing in glory. Just one thing, if I've got one offer of help, or at least somebody agreed when I asked, to help serve refreshments next Saturday, I could do with a couple of others. So if you think, yes, I could serve coffee and tea and so on. Thank you, Graham. That's really good. You put your hand up. I saw it. I know you were only waving, but that's a bid. So Graham is now serving teas and coffees at the Marriage and Mission morning next Saturday morning at 11 o'clock. Thank you so much, Graham. Anybody else dare to put their hand up to scratch their head? Watch out. you don't need volunteers when you can press people. Let's finally, birthdays. We haven't done birthdays for a while. The last time I asked this question, I said, have we missed anybody's birthday? And the last time I asked that question, Linda said, yes. I said, when was it? The 24th of April. And so 17th of April. Sorry, 17th of April. So we have a birthday coming up in 2 days' time, which is Dawn's. And several people, Dawn, have told me of your birthday. And your twin, Paul Franks, obviously. So we're going to say happy birthday to Dawn. Has anybody else got a birthday today or around about now that we need to remember? Even our visitors, if you don't mind putting out. I won't, if you put your hand up, I won't put you down for coffee. No, just Dawn. Yes, have you got a birthday, Ray?
17th of
August. What date?
17th of August.
17th of August. Well, that'll do. That's much closer than the 17th of April, isn't it? So let's say happy birthday to Dawn and Ray. Excellent. Those who are visitors here, you can go away and say, yes, I went to the madhouse on Sunday the 6th of August, but they did let me out alive, which is really good. To help us into worship, some words, wonderful words from Psalm 96. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Let all creation rejoice before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. Lord, from every nation, every people, you draw us to come and worship. Come, Holy Spirit, help us worship you in spirit and truth to the glory of Jesus. Amen. Leslie doesn't need to be the only percussionist this morning. There are instruments at the front of the church. And so if you want to join in with drum or tambourine, feel free. During our time of worship, throughout the whole service, feel free to sit or to stand, to dance. This is our time of worship.
Sunset's glory, amazing artistry across the evening sky. When I feel the mystery of a distant galaxy, it awes and humbles me to be loved by a God so high. What can I do? What can I do but give my life to you? Hallelujah, hallelujah. What can I do but praise you? Every day make everything I do. Hallelujah, hallelujah. When I hear of a God of mercy who shared humanity, suffered by our side, of the cross they nailed you to and could not hold you. Now you're making all things new by the power of your risen life. What can I do? What can I do but give my life to you? Hallelujah,
hallelujah. What can I do but praise you? Every day make everything I do. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
What can I do but thank you? What can I do but give my life to you? Hallelujah, hallelujah. What can I do but praise you? Every day make everything I do.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, sing to Jesus.
Hallelujah.
to your brought new bones of people from every nation, every corner of the earth, and
thank
put
you,
it together in your kingdom.
Thank
for
you,
we
Lord.
Worship you, for yeah. we bless your name,
yeah,
for we be saved by you, Lord, for we deal with you, for we glorify
you,
your name forever and above everything. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. we need your life this morning. Your life, your love, your power. Thank you as we come to this place, we're reminded that your death has indeed brought us life, eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And we give you thanks and praise. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. It's a precious place to be, and I don't want us to leave there. So that sense of, yes, this is what it's all about. Don't lose that. We may be now taking up an offering for those regular members of the congregation. When visitors, we're not after your money, we're just pleased to see you here. If you want to give, then do. But this is worship. And we've got to rummage and we've got to get bits and pieces and so on. But may that stillness and that sense of God's presence be very much here in the activity. Father, we thank you for these gifts, a sign of our love for you and our concern for the people that you gave your life for. We pray that these gifts will be used, they'll be multiplied by your Holy Spirit, that many will come to know you. Amen.
Amen.
So I should have said, for those who are serving communion, if you'd like to come up and join me. Up here now, because we've been used to during COVID time of being all isolated and separated, and we realize, excuse me, can I just hold your hand, Mark? Isn't it a simple thing to do? Bless you. We can be close to one another, we can be gathered together. And this is a family meal, and it's one that everyone is invited to who wants to say thank you to Jesus. Children, adults, everybody. If at the moment you're not quite there in that place to say, yes, Jesus, you died for me so that I could be forgiven and I might receive new life, as we were singing that last hymn. If that's not where you are at the moment, that's no problem. We're just delighted you're here. So when the bread and the non-alcoholic wine comes out, just pass it by and that's fine. Because this is a meal to opt in for, not to feel guilty of not taking it or taking it. So everybody is welcome to this table. So words from Isaiah, talking 500 or 600 years before Jesus was born, but talking about Jesus. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to our own way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. This is a strange meal celebrating somebody's death, which we don't often do, apart from here. Come to this table, not because you must, but because you may. Not because you're strong, but because you're weak. Come not because any goodness of your own gives you a right to come, but because you need mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord a little and you want to love him more. Come because he loved you and gave himself for you. Come and meet the risen Christ, for we are his body. In our prayers today, we're thinking of sorry, thank you, and please. And we have the opportunity to say sorry now. Lord, we are sorry for when we have done wrong, said hurtful things to you, about you, or about others. Sorry, Lord, when we have grieved your Holy Spirit. We're sorry for not doing something that we should have done. But we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have promised that whenever we say sorry, you forgive us completely. Total forgiveness is ours. Through the cross. So forgive us now, Lord, we pray. Cleanse us, make us clean from all unrighteousness, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Amen. The Apostle Paul tells us how this meal was started. What we call the institution of the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist, the Last Supper, communion, all describing the same thing. For I received from the Lord what I also handed to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, this is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For when you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Mark's going to lead us in a prayer of thanks.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we meet before you this morning as a body of forgiven sinners, not through anything that we've done ourselves, but through your atoning sacrifice on the cross at Calvary. Lord, we thank you that you loved us so much that you left the heavenly realms to come to earth and to live amongst us for 33 years. Lord, you were the only one who was able to be that perfect sacrifice for our sins. Each and every one of us here in this building at the moment is a sinner, Lord, but we are a forgiven sinner through your atoning sacrifice. Lord, we thank you for your body represented by the bread that was broken for us on the cross. And we thank you for your blood represented by the wine that was shed for us, that cleanses us of our sins. Lord, we are so inadequate in saying thank you. Words can't express what you have done for us. And the pain that you bore, not on the cross, but when you were separated from God the Father. We say thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Amen. Amen.
Jesus said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Take it in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts with thanksgiving. As the bread comes round, it'll be on the top of a cup of wine. Eat the bread and then hold on to the wine so we can drink that together to remind us of our unity in Christ. Thank you, Jean. Duty now to drink the cup. In the same way, he took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." Drink this and remember that Christ's blood was shed for you, and be thankful. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and you brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you've set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. I'd ask you to stay seated while we sing a song that leads us into prayer. We've had prayer of sorry, thank you, and we'll be saying a prayer of please in a moment. But to lead us into that, we have this beautiful song. Just a short time to say please to our loving Father. Might be for you. He knows your name. He sees each tear that falls. But it might be for somebody else that your tears have been falling for. Just in the quietness, let's say please to the Father. Loving Father, I thank you that because of Jesus, you hear our prayer, that your Holy Spirit has helped us to pray and reassure us that we are your children and that you are our loving Father. We know, Lord, that you are already answering the prayers of our heart. And as we've prayed, led by your Spirit, so we will receive what we've asked for. Amen. So we often have children's activity while we have our message and sermon. And we're doing that again today. And Connie's got the option. But there are spare packs and sheets of paper outside. And I always say to the adults, if you want to do it as well, you can. Andrew won't mind. He's preaching, but he won't mind if he sees a few people writing. We've just had Connie.
You've got Lexi as well.
Yes, Lexi arrived. You came in during, didn't you? We've just been praying. And some of us can get really worried about prayer. And it's not meant to be complicated. And the three words we've heard today are one way of praying. Sorry. Thank you. Please. These prayer opportunities today on your sheets of paper are not to show anybody else, unless you want to show Mom or Dad, whoever's brought you. But these are private. You know, these are your prayers. So, Lexi, Connie, if you want to put down, please, sorry, thank you, whatever it might be. The please might be for somebody else. Or it might be for a member of the family or yourself. So, while we're hearing God's word, and Dennis is going to bring that in a moment, there's an opportunity for you to write or draw some prayers. Sorry, thank you, please. Dennis is going to bring our reading for us from Zechariah.
Our Bible reading this morning is from Zechariah chapter 12. And this can be found on page 957 of the Church Bibles, 957. A prophecy, the word of the Lord concerning Israel. The Lord, who stretches out the heavens, who lays the foundation of the earth, and who forms the human spirit within a person, declares, I am going to make Jerusalem a cup that sends all the surrounding peoples reeling. Judah will be besieged as well as Jerusalem. On that day when all the nations of the earth are gathered against her, I will make Jerusalem an immovable rock for all the nations. All who try to move it will injure themselves. On that day, I will strike every horse with panic and its rider with madness, declares the Lord. I will keep a watchful eye over Judah, but I will blind all the horses of the nations. Then the clans of Judah will say in their hearts, the people of Jerusalem are strong because the Lord Almighty is their God. On that day, I will make the clans of Judah like a brazier in a woodpile, like a flaming torch among sheaves. They will consume all the surrounding peoples, right and left, but Jerusalem will remain intact in her place. The Lord will save the dwellings of Judah first, so that the honour of the house of David and of Jerusalem's inhabitants may not be greater than that of Judah. On that day, the Lord will shield those who live in Jerusalem, so that the feeblest among them will be like David, and the house of David will be like God, like the angel of the Lord going before them. On that day, I will set out to destroy all the nations that attack Jerusalem. And I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication. They will look on me, the one they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one who mourns for an only child, and grieve bitterly for him, as one grieves for a firstborn son. On that day, the weeping in Jerusalem will be as great as the weeping of Hadad-Rimon in the plain of Megiddo. The land will mourn, each clan by itself, with their wives and them by themselves. The clan of the house of David and their wives, the clan of the house of Nathan and their wives, the clan of the house of Levi and their wives, the clan of Shimei and their wives, and all the rest of the clans and their wives.
Let's go to pray for Andrew. Father, we thank you for Andrew. Thank you for what you have spoken to him. And we pray now that we have open ears, open hearts to receive your word and to obey it. Amen.
As we continue with Zechariah in chapter 12, there are three points that come out, and the beginning of each of the letters is going to give you the word ace. So if nothing else, it should be easy to remember this morning that the service was ace. But the first point is A, acknowledge. God confirms to Zechariah that it is he who formed the heavens and the earth. Verse 1, the Lord who stretches out the heavens, who laid the foundation of the earth, and who forms the spirit of man. An acknowledgement of God also happens in the New Testament. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John had been arrested because they had healed a man. They were told not to preach anymore in the name of Jesus, but they went back to the early believers, and as one body they said, Sovereign Lord, you made the heaven and the earth, the sea and everything in them. Have you started to acknowledge God over all your life? Psalm 139:13-15, we read, God knew us in our mother's womb. Matthew 10:30, Jesus says, even the very hairs on your head are numbered. This is a poster we put outside periodically. It just says, the creator of the universe knows you. It's a person there looking up into the vastness of space. And yet God knows you intimately. If you've ever watched the sky at night or stargazing, you know how big and vast our universe really is. Yet, when we meet here in Paignton, a small town hardly mentioned on the national news, God knows each one of us here this morning intimately. We're not just a person who's turned up. He knows each one of you intimately well. So, A, acknowledge. The next bit, C, combat. Verses 2-9, there's a battle for Jerusalem. God has the victory. But you could easily exchange Jerusalem, the city, and put the word church in its place. And we see the same thing happening, the church under attack. The minute you accept Jesus, you are in a battle. Those of you who have been believers a long time know all about the battle. Those who have just recently come to faith, you're probably starting to realize the battle is strong. If you're seeking Jesus, keep seeking, but be warned, the Christian life is not an easy life. John 15. Jesus said, "If the world hates you, keep in mind it hated me first. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you." And Jesus also said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you." It's not easy rejoicing when you're being persecuted. The human instinct is to want to get even. But Jesus says, your reward isn't on earth. Your reward is in heaven. Do you know, this morning there's probably been a war going on for you. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit longing for you to come. But Satan and his army have probably been trying to put distractions in your way, stopping you. In keeping in touch the other week, there were four areas mentioned that Satan can use to get into our lives. And it's halt. It's when we're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. There are other ways, but those are four of them. And we perhaps need to be on our guard when we're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. The problem is, as Satan can distract us one week leads to two, and eventually people give up coming. And we've seen that in the past, how it's so easy to stop coming. But where possible, try and worship. Hebrews 10, verse 25 says, "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching." Also in Hebrews, we read about the heroes of faith, the good. But we also read about the early believers. They were put in prison but refused release, jeered and flogged, put to death by sword, stoned, went around in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. It is said by the early church that apart from John, all the disciples were martyred for the faith, although not mentioned in scripture. And it was reported that in the 20th century, more Christians were martyred for the faith than all the previous centuries put together. 2 Timothy 3 verse 12. "In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." How do we overcome? Revelation 12, verse 11. "They overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony." This morning we shared communion. Jesus' blood cleanses us. But no one can take your testimony of what God has done through Jesus in your life away from you. No matter what they think, you've all got a testimony of God's love, mercy, and grace. Jesus said, "I will build my church, and not even the gates of hell will overcome it." James says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Jesus has the victory. Colossians, he disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing them over the cross. We stand this morning in victory because of the work of Jesus on the cross. The hymn in heavenly armour, when the powers of darkness comes in like a flood, the battle belongs to the Lord. He's raised up a standard, the power of his blood, the battle belongs to the Lord. When your enemy presses in hard, do not fear, the battle belongs to the Lord. Take courage, my friend, your redemption is near. The battle belongs to the Lord. You're in a battle with Jesus, but he has the victory. Remember, he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. Another way you can overcome is to praise. Are you learning to sing or declare in the week the goodness of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? You don't have to be a good singer. As we shared the other week, worship starts from the heart. It's not whether we can hit the high notes, low notes, white. Worship stems from that heart that you have for God. So don't worry if you think, oh, I can't sing. Let praise dwell through the Holy Spirit out throughout the week. So that A-C-E eyes. As we're in a battle, keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. When you watch an athletic race, as they're warming up, they're very relaxed, they might be waving to their family in the crowd. But as the start time approaches, if you watch, they change. And when they start racing, look at their eyes. They blank out the fans, everything, and all their eyes focus on is that finishing line. Nothing else distracts them. There's a lot going on in our world today. You've got to keep your eyes on Jesus. In the hymn, O soul, are you weary and troubled? The chorus says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Zechariah in verse 10 sees Jesus, whether in a dream or revelation, we're not told. It just says, they will look on me, the one they have pierced. The Old Testament again pointing to the coming Saviour, Jesus. Zechariah 12, ace. Acknowledge, combat, eyes. It's a circle, as some of you know, as individuals or a fellowship. As we acknowledge God, we come under combat from Satan. The more combat we come under, the more we need to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. The more we keep our eyes focused on Jesus, the more acknowledgement of his goodness we give him, the more under attack will come. A perfect example of all three together is in Acts chapter 7. Stephen, he acknowledges God, verses 2 to 53. He then faces opposition in verse 54. He then says he sees Jesus standing in verse 55. He's stoned to death, but like Jesus, he's able to pray, Father, do not hold this sin against them. I don't know where you are this morning, but are you acknowledging God? Are you aware of the combat going on for you? Are you keeping your eyes on Jesus? Amen.
Thank you so much, Andrew. I don't know if you noticed in the reading, but the Lord said, I will pour out a spirit of grace and supplication upon them. Grace, we're forgiven and cleansed. Supplication, please. Say please. And before we have our final hymn to finish the service, we have the opportunity to say please. But this time not for ourselves. It's specific for others. I've asked Peter to lead us in just a short time of prayer, for those that Andrew were reminding us of, those who are persecuted for their faith. And so we have an opportunity now to enter into combat on the winning side in our praying. Peter, if you'd like to lead us.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, we pray for your children, our brothers and sisters, who through no fault of their own suffer because they follow you. We want to lift them before you this morning. Lord, we are horrified to learn that 360 million Christians in dozens of countries across the world suffer persecution and discrimination. We know that you have a special place for them in your heart because you know what it is to suffer persecution. We thank you for their faithfulness, often in circumstances which we can scarcely imagine. We ask that you would be so near and real to them. Bless and protect them. Grant them everything they need, both practically and spiritually, so that they will be able to stand strong for you, come what may. Lord, there are so many countries we could pray for, but we pray particularly for three this morning. For India, and especially for Manipur, where there has been so much violence and bloodshed recently. For those who have been bereaved, we pray for your comfort and provision as they have need. For those who have been injured and traumatized, we pray for their healing in body and mind. For those who have seen their homes and possessions destroyed, we pray that you will enable them to recover. But in the meantime, that they will find places of safety. And may all the hundreds of churches which have been destroyed be rebuilt without any form of obstruction. Lord, we pray for an end to the BJP government's policy of promoting Hindu nationalism, which facilitates such outbreaks of violence against religious minorities. We pray for Christians in Niger following the coup that has taken place there. We pray that they will not suffer persecution because there has been a change of regime. In particular, we ask that this change will not provide an opportunity for Islamic extremists to extend their influence and evil in this country. In fact, we pray that the whole growth of Islamic extremism in sub-Saharan Africa will be halted, reversed, and eradicated. We pray for Sudan, for an end to the civil war in this country, which has caused suffering for your people. We ask for peace, stable government, and a climate in which your people can follow you and worship you in peace. We pray for those organisations which are dedicated to helping the persecuted church. We pray for the work of Open Doors, Barnabas Fund, Christian Solidarity Worldwide, Release International, and others, which do their utmost to support persecuted Christians. We pray in particular that they will have the resources they need to undertake the work you have called them to do. Lord, help us to learn from the example of persecuted Christians, their commitment and their faithfulness. They have so much to teach us. And finally, Lord, speak to us about what you want us to do to help our persecuted brothers and sisters who desperately need our support. May we never forget that you told us, whatever you did for the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Peter. If you want to find out more about the work of these organisations, do speak to Peter, and there are others in our church who know different organisations. It's always something we're told to remember those in prison as if you yourselves were there. We sing this final song that Andrew's already quoted from as a declaration of God's victory. The battle belongs to the Lord.
To present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power, and authority. through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.